As we have communion today, I'm going to give you a little bit of different instructions. We're going to have you come forward and receive the communion this morning. The guys are just going to stand up here and hold it out, and you will come and take your emblems and then take them back to the seat. Don't partake until everybody has been served, and then we'll all partake together like we usually do. But we're going to have you come in this door over here and just come down the front aisle here, take your juice and your cracker, and then go out this way and go back to your seat. And it's a little bit of walking around, but I got a reason for this morning. I want you to, as you come and get to your cup today and your cracker, just to pause for a moment and say, Lord, I'm doing this today, and I'm being reminded of what you did. And maybe you would like to pray and just say, Lord, help me to never forget all that you have done for me. Just give that, offer a little prayer before you take your cup and go and sit down. Lord, just keep me near the cross so I can live in the light of the cross for you. We serve an open communion here. You don't have to be a member of this church, but we do ask that you've invited Christ into your heart to be your Savior. And if you have done that, we invite you to partake this morning. If you have not done that, let me tell you, you can do that this morning. Before you get up here this morning, you can say, Father, I admit that I've sinned, and I'm a sinner. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and paid the penalty for my sin. And I confess him as my Lord, and I receive him into my life right now. And the Lord will come in, and he will forgive you of your sins. And he'll let the blood of Christ wash those sins away. So we're going to pray, and then that's our instructions this morning. Father, we come upon this time of the service, this sacred and hallowed time, as we remember that we are yours today, that we have been bought with a price. The price was the blood of your Son, and how his blood was spilled out and his body bruised for us. Lord, we thank you today that he did this so that our sins could be washed away. Pray, Lord, that you would help this be a meaningful time for each of us today. And I pray, Lord, that if there is one even that has not received you yet, that they would take this opportunity to invite you into their heart and life, asking you to be their Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So would you just begin to come from this aisle down. Just come right across the front. You might have to walk out in the hallways or whatever. Sure, Dave, you want to show them how to do it? Lead them down there.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beam. flames around me. In the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Hear the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows for me. In the cross, in the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll walk, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross be my glory. In the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the
Has everybody been served that would like to be served? If you didn't get served, we don't want to miss you. Raise your hand if for some reason if you were not able to get up here or something. And okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the cracker together. Thank you. Lord, we eat this today and we remember your body was broken for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink this and remember that Christ allowed his blood to be shed that our sins could be washed away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood, that you allowed it to be shed. Nobody took your life, you gave it. you willingly shed your blood so that our sins could be washed away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Maybe we could sing a couple of verses of Power in the Blood. Could we do that? And if you could just pass your cups to the inside aisles, the guys could pick them up. What was ahead for him. And so he said to his disciples that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to give his life, he says, as a ransom for many. He came. The reason that he came, the reason that he was born, the reason that he left heaven, he came to this earth and to live the sinless life was to offer his life as a ransom. To pay the debt of sin on behalf of mankind, to die in man's place. And so these elements of communion are supposed to remind us that Christ died on a cross as a means by which we might be saved. He paid the sacrifice for our sin. He sacrificed his own life for our lives. More specifically, he sacrificed his life for your life. Today. He was your substitute. He substituted his life for yours. John Stott writes, "The concept of substitution lies at the heart of both sin and salvation. For the essence of sin is man submitting himself for God. Well, the essence of salvation is God submitting himself for man." And God did that first. He's the one that took the initiative and substituted his life in place of ours. And the bread and cup remind us that as Jesus hung on the cross and died in our place, that was a demonstration of his great love, and that is what he came to do. I'm sure you remember the events of the day of October 2nd, 2006. A dark day in the Amish community of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. Could not have helped but heard the story of the milkman named Charles Carl Roberts, who barricaded himself in the West Nickel Mine Amish school. He was armed with 3 guns, knives, and over 600 rounds of ammunition. When police attempted to intervene less than a half an hour later, Roberts opened fire on 11 girls. All less than 14 years old, killing 5 of those girls. Remember the story? After those brutal attacks, he turned his weapon on himself and committed suicide. It was a dark, violence-filled hour in the life of that peaceful Amish community. But there was more news that became available as the days went on, and a new story began to emerge, a story of courage and faith and love. According to two of the survivors, when 13-year-old Mary Fisher began to understand what Charles Carl Roberts intended to do, she made a request. She said, "Shoot me first." She said, "Shoot me first and let the other ones be loose. Let them go free." See, she was the oldest child in the group. She hoped that her death might somehow spare the other children, and at the very least provide more time for their rescue. And immediately after this request, Mary's younger sister, Barbie, said, "Shoot me second." Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I believe that many young people who knew the girls believe this as well, that these girls offered to die first because they were inspired by the example that Jesus Christ set for us. inspired by the example that he set when he died on the cross. They knew, they remembered that he died for us. They remembered that he died so that they could live. And this memory motivated them to give their lives for their friends. One of communion's purposes is to help us remember this astounding fact. This bread and cup are not here to feed us, but to remind us of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. They are there to remind us of his great love. They are there to remind us of things that, to be quite honest with you, we will never fully understand on this side of eternity. We will never really understand the love of God and the love of Christ, that he would go and pay such a horrible debt of sin as to die on Calvary's cross. Jesus died in our place. His sacrifice paid for our sins. He died so that we could live. Second thing about communion, the Lord's Supper, reminding us. It's a reminder of the love that the Savior's sacrifice expressed. Reminds us of the love that the Savior's sacrifice expressed. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He died for his friends, those disciples. He died for even those who were enemies of his. As someone put it, it was not the nails that held him to the cross, it was his love for you and me. I don't think they would have had to have nailed him. He'd have stayed there because his love was so great for us. His love was stronger than any nail. One of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. You ever seen that movie? I like it. It's not all theologically correct, I guess, but I like the movie. And you remember the main character of the movie is George Bailey. You remember there came a time when he saved his little brother Harry's life. The boys were sledding, and they didn't have sleds, but they had coal shovels, and they were sliding down this hill onto the ice, and Harry slid further than anybody else. He slid so far that he landed on thin ice and eventually fell into the freezing water. He would have drowned had not his older brother George been there to jump in and rescue him. George didn't even hesitate. He saw his brother go down. He just jumped in and saved him from that icy cold water. But in the process, he severely damaged the hearing in one ear. And for the rest of his life, the scar tissue there would not allow him to hear. He was deaf in that ear. But it was a constant reminder to Harry of how much his brother loved him. As Christians, as God's children are, and part of his spiritual adoption, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, showed his love for us by just jumping in to this world and dying on a cross without really thinking about it. He just knew that he loved us so much, and he had to do this, and he came to rescue us from our sin. And he has scars today. He has scars in his hands. He has scars in his side. Those scars are visible reminders of his love for you and me. And so communion points us to remember those scars. It points us to remember the cross. And we only need to look to the cross to see how much Jesus loved us. And then the third thing the Lord's Supper helps us never to forget is the Savior's future return. We celebrate his first advent, his first coming. We will someday be celebrating his second advent, his second coming. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul wrote concerning the Lord's Supper, saying, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." You see, we observe the Lord's Supper in the midst of history, but we do so with an eye to the end of history and our Lord's triumphant return. This is the great hope as Christians, that the Christ who was born in Bethlehem, crucified on Calvary, and raised on that first resurrection morning is coming again. The Christ with whom we have fellowship here at this table is going to someday return as a victor. He's going to return visibly with power, authority, and victory. And this is something that we must never forget, because it's a promise that we have. It's a promise that gives us hope in even the darkest hours of life. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I believe that Jesus is coming back soon, and he will take us to his heavenly home that he has prepared for us, and we'll be with family members, we'll be with spouses that have died, we'll be with parents that have died, we'll be with children that have died, we'll be with friends that have died, and we will never be parted from them again. Isn't that great? I read about a church building in Poland that had been reduced to rubble by repeated bombings in World War II. After the war, the congregation was too poor to buy new materials to rebuild the church. So they broke the rubble into smaller pieces, mixed in some concrete, and rebuilt the church with the recycled materials from their first building. When it was complete, they wrote the following words over the door: "Lift up your hearts. Lift up your hearts." Well, the Lord's Supper is a heart-lifting experience. It's a time for us to lift our hearts up to the glad and sure promise of Christ's return. You remember that when Jesus was taken from his disciples into heaven, they just stood there, gazing, looking up into heaven, and an angel appeared unto them. So why do you stand here gazing like that? This same Jesus which was taken from you will so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. And you know, the first time he came to die, but the second time he came, he's coming with all power and authority. And every eye will behold him. That's God's promise. So the Lord's Supper reminds us of Christ's sacrifice. It reminds us of his great love, and it reminds us of his return. Before we partake of communion today, I want you to hear this. Hear an audio clip. It's about a 13-year-old boy, Logan. Have you heard it? Some of you might have heard it. It's been going around on the internet. It's a 13-year-old boy named Logan who lives on a ranch in a very small town in Nebraska. Logan listens to Christian radio station 89.3 FM KSBJ, which broadcasts from Houston, Texas. Logan called the radio station distraught because he had to take down a calf. But his words have wisdom beyond years.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
Hold on. Mom?
So cute. I guess his mom's talking to him.
I'm talking right now. I'll be up in a second. But sorry about that. But anyway, she broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why. She was special. And God said, you know, Logan, but my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, sometimes I don't think I'm wise. Trust me, I've done a lot of stupid stuff. But I've learned from it.
Yeah, but see, buddy, that's what makes you wise, somebody that learns from their mistakes.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jesus died for a purpose. God loves you today. To prove it, he sent his son. Now he wants us to remember what he did. He wants us to remember what the Savior did for us. And before we have communion today, I'm going to ask Mai. She's coming to sing. Sing is special for us. God bless her as she comes.